Kings chapter 18. Sorry, 2 Kings chapter 18. And our title for this afternoon's meeting is simply Four Crises in a King's Life. Four Crises. I'm sure we all have many more than four crises in our lives. And I'm sure Hezekiah had more than four crises. But these are his main ones. And we'd like to look at them this afternoon. But first of all, we're going to look at Hezekiah himself in our introduction and see what sort of a man and what sort of a king he was. He was a king of Judah, tells us in chapter 18 on verse 5. He was a godly king. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him. After him. There was no other king reigned after Hezekiah that was more godly. He is the most godly king after him. And then we go on and it says something else which is very good. Nor any that were before him. What a great testimony for a king. Would it be great to have a king or a queen or a prime minister or any leader of our land that we could say they are godly, that they love the Lord with all their heart? Would be a tremendous thing. We see in the news and look around and all those who look after our land and how they're bringing in sin into our country and how they legislate these laws which God says are wrong. But let us look at Hezekiah. He was 25 years old when he started to reign. Quite a young age. And he reigned in Jerusalem for 29 years. His father was an evil king. He was evil. And he was 20 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned for 16 years. And his name was called Ahaz. You wonder why Hezekiah was such a good king, and yet his father was so evil, a man who brought idols into the country. He brought them in. People were worshipping false gods. And yet here we have his son, completely different. Did you ever ask yourself, maybe why did that happen? Well, maybe the answer is in what I am going to say just now. Maybe it was because of his grandfather. His grandfather was a good king. He reigned for 25 years when he came to reign, and he reigned there 16 years. His name was Jotham. His grandfather. The testimony of his grandfather, I believe, touched his heart. And it remained, even though the idols were in the country, there was still a remnant. The testimony of this great king Jotham moved in the heart of Hezekiah, his grandson. And when I was looking at that, isn't there something for us to learn? We who are grandfathers and grandmothers, maybe our families have gone astray. Maybe they are in a backslidden state. Probably maybe made a profession when they were a child. And how important it is for grandfathers and grandmothers to help our grandchildren and to teach them the Word of God in every opportunity that we can, by bringing them to children's meetings, to bringing them to Sunday school, by reading to them God's Word, by speaking incidents in the Scripture, just like maybe Jonah and the great fish, or maybe Daniel in the lion's den, the feeding of the 5,000, and teaching our grandchildren the Word of God, because we do not know where it is going to end. Maybe one of the greatest preachers you could have, just like Hezekiah, and whenever his grandfather Joseph was preaching the word and living that testimony, was pleading on to God, they understood, and this was the result of it. Hezekiah, faithful, true servant of God. So Granny and Granda, let us do a work for the Lord, and in love encourage our grandchildren. Tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ, and we know that the Lord would bless it to their hearts. His great grandfather, he was in between. He was partly good and partly evil. And he was 16 years of age when he started to reign. And he reigned for 52 years. And his name was Uzziah. Now we come to the very first crisis. He had to do something. He had a choice. And the choice was to continue on in his father's footsteps or in his grandfather's footsteps. The kingdom was an idolatry. And what did he do? He purged the country. He chose that which was right in the sight of God. He took the idols and he just threw them out, as we read in 2 Kings 18 and verse 4. He just broke them all down. He chose that which was good. And what did he do? He clave onto the Lord in verse 6. He kept in touch with him, so close, because God was with him, as we read in verse 7. He chose that which was good. And how important it is for us and our leaders in our country to choose that which is good. And that is to worship the Lord God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. Then we come to the second crisis. Not as we read it in chapter 18 and verse 17. The invasion from the king of Assyria. And we read again in 19 verse 1. And how the king of Assyria came to Jerusalem with a great show of strength. And of course, Hezekiah wondered what he was going to do. And what did he do? Well, there's a few options in which what he could have done. He could have just went on and fought, took them what was there and then, or he could have surrendered completely, or else he could have tried to make a deal where a lot of countries are doing today. But he didn't. He chose to seek the Lord. So what did he do? He called for a man called Isaiah. He was well known, prophet of God. When I look back for every Lord's Day I have preached here this last 3 months, I've always brought Isaiah into the message at one part of the Lord's Day. What a tremendous prophet Isaiah was. And here we see him coming. And Isaiah replied and said to him, while he inquired of him, what was he going to do? He said, be not afraid. God will give the victory. That's what he said. God will give the victory. And of course, this message was sent back to Hezekiah. But then, king of Assyria, he wasn't one to give in. And he got a letter and he sent it to Hezekiah. And there Hezekiah received the letter and he took it. And what did he do with it? Did he throw it to the one side? Did he get all fearful? What am I going to do? No. He brought it into the house of the Lord. And he spread it before God. And for Christian friends, when we have trials, when we have crisis, when we have sickness, no matter what it may be, we can always bring it before the Lord in prayer. Hezekiah had Isaiah as interceder. We have the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven as our interceder. Don't be afraid, just as prayer before God. Pray that the Lord will help you in your time of crisis. Then Isaiah sent a message to Hezekiah. I have heard thy prayer, and I will not let the king of Assyria take your city. I will defend it, said the Lord. Was not great words of encouragement that the Lord will defend it. And you know the Lord will defend us. We have to keep trusting and believing on him. And he will defend us. He will look after us. We should not be getting too concerned or worried. Although it's a natural thing to be concerned. But we must have in our hearts that God is going to defend us. We are faithful and true to him. He will do it. And that's what happened. The king of Assyria was defeated. And whenever he was defeated, his two sons went into his own country and killed him. And then we have the third crisis. This is the crisis we all year have. He was sick. We all get sick. There's no doubt about that. But here, the king was sick. Our bodies are fragile. Fragile. And we'll all die. That is, if the Lord doesn't come first. It is because of sin. That's why we have what you call spiritual death and physical death. And because of the spiritual death, that is whenever Adam sinned against God in the Garden of Eden, how we were spiritually killed. There was spiritual death. Now we were born, everyone that was been born after that would have been born in sin, and shaping in iniquity. Each and every one of us, spiritual death, that is sin. Our hearts are so full of sin. Jeremiah says, it's above all things desperately wicked. And because our hearts are sinful, that means our blood is sinful too. It is sinful. And as the blood is pumped by the heart through the body, the flesh becomes sinful. Isaiah said in chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, and he was speaking here concerning, he was prophesying here, concerning Judah, a sinful nation. And it's just about the same time as this reading that we had tonight. And he used the illustration of the body to make his prophecy. And he used it and he said, the whole body is sick. Whole body, from the top of the head to the sole of her foot, were full of bruises and putrefying sores. Yes, Isaiah meant it as a spiritual prophesy. But he used the body to make that prophesy. And then that means that the body is sinful. And the body is weak and helpless and sickly. We all can say how true that is. Hezekiah was 39 years old when he took sick. And of course, we know sickness can come every way. It can come through accidents, and then we get various things out of accidents. We can get animals can give us diseases, water, food, all sorts of things can make us sick. And I had an example of it whenever I came over here as a first. That long drive in an aeroplane made me sick. And it's so easy. And through viruses, I remember whenever I had, I wasn't well, I had a virus. It was through a cat soiling on a fishing hook. And I got a fishing hook in my finger for 5 to 6 hours. And it went through and it made me so tired. And I can honestly say, when this tiresome sickness is one of the difficulties, it's very hard. And I find that when I come home from the work, I had to lie down. I was losing interest in my work. And then what happened was I had to give up running. I was an athlete. I had to give up running as this sickness. And I had to give up my business because I just lost interest. And I just couldn't go on. And viruses can come in on the whole body. And I was fit. I was a runner. Fit as a fiddle. Used to carry weights of 5 kilos, 56 pound weight in races and all sorts of things. And yet it was just through a cat. No, my body was weak and helpless. We can get all these sickness. And this sickness that he had was nigh on to death. And here God used the interceder again, Isaiah the prophet. And Isaiah had a visitor. Or not Isaiah, but Hezekiah had a visitor. And he wasn't very nice when he came to Hezekiah as he lay in his bed. And he just said bluntly. He just said, bluntly, get set thine house in order, for thou shalt die. That wasn't a very nice thing for to say. I remember when I was in the hospital 3 years ago, and I was lying in the bed. This big doctor, lady doctor, came up. She just got the curtains and curtains round. She looked at me and she says, I am the cancer doctor. I'm going to test give you some tests to see if you have cancer. And then she pushed them back again and away she went out. But thankfully, thank God that I hadn't got cancer after the test, but it was a shock, nevertheless. And I'm sure Hezekiah got that shock whenever he said the words to him. And what did he do? Well, we do have visitors, do we not? We have visitors. We think of Christians. We have visitors that come to us. Dr. Sickness comes to us. Mr. Problem, Mr. Trail, and Mr. Temptation, they all come to visit us. Isn't that right? Then as Mr. Sin comes and visits us. That's terrible. That's the worst one. Hard. Whenever we sin against God. And then we must go and repent of that sin. Immediately. And we think of the unsaved. And maybe there's someone saved who are listening to this message tonight. And how the unsaved receive visitors. We think of the very first visitor that would come to him, say, Mr. Preacher. And Mr. Preacher would come to the unsaved and tell them that you are a sinner. You're lost. You're going to a lost eternity. You must realize you're a sinner and come to Christ. Because the Lord Jesus Christ died for you on the cross in Calvary. And he's alive. And he's on the Father's right hand. Oh, Mr. Preacher comes often, visits the unsaved. Oh yes, he can come so many ways, Mr. Preacher. He can come with gospel tracts just out on posters. Even the posters that are sitting outside our meeting house. He can come when gospel tracts are given out. They can come whenever someone is speaking or giving their testimony on how the Lord saved them. Yes, Mr. Preacher comes to the unsaved. But how the unsaved do not like Mr. Preacher as a visitor. Oh, hurry up and go away. Oh, go away. I'm sick. I don't want to hear. And then they would get Mr. Religion would come in and say, oh, you're all right. Just believe in God and that's it. And then there would be Mr. Goodworks. And Mr. Worldling would come in. Oh, don't worry about. Oh, Mr. Worldling would say, oh, go and enjoy yourself. Do what it says in these advertisements you see on television. Go and have a good time. Oh yes, he does come in. Mr. Worldly comes in. Mr. Goodworks, Mr. Allright. Oh, you're alright. Giving money to charity that's a good job, you'll be all right. Oh, yet the unsaved has a visitor all the time. And then we see what else he done. He brought his crisis to God. Why did Hezekiah bring this to God? Because God had already told him that he was going to die through the interceder Isaiah. He knew he was going to die. So why? You see, Hezekiah was used to bringing everything to God in prayer. What a friend we have in Jesus. He brought everything. He came directly to God. Remember, he turned and looked to the wall. And he brought it directly to God in prayer. And that's what the unsaved must do. And they must come and bring their sins to directly to God. Not a minister. Not a friend. No one else. If God forgives sin, must come to God alone through the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and be saved. And what happened? God heard and answered his prayer. And many times, Christian, has God answered our prayers? If we were to count every prayer that God has answered and helped us, you can't even think of it. God answers his prayer. He answers every prayer when you think of it. Sometimes he says yes. Sometimes he says no. Sometimes we have to wait. And sometimes the prayers are answered when you're dead. And I would like to tell an incident about this, but we're having time tonight, and it was a bit emotional. But this is what happens many times. God heard. He saw his tears. Isaiah had only got down into the middle court. Remember how he went down the castle? And while he was just going out, probably thinking, oh, poor King Hezekiah. He wasn't a bad creator. And as he was coming out, God spoke to him. And God said, hey, go back, turn again, and go back. And tell Hezekiah's prayer has been answered. He's added 15 years to his life. And how wonderful that was. And how Isaiah went, he said to take a lump of figs, and he took it and laid it on his boil. And of course, Hezekiah wanted a sign. He wanted a sign, and God gave him a sign. And the sign was that the shadow shall go back 10 or go forward 10 degrees, whichever he wished. And of course, Hezekiah chose the hardest one, which was going back 10 degrees. We all look in signs, don't we? God's people, we are looking signs. And what signs have we? Signs is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is within us. And surely that is our sign that we belong to Christ. Surely it is. See, the fruit of the Spirit that comes out from us. And that is a sign. That's how you know a Christian. When you see the fruit of the Spirit in his life. It's very important. And for the unsaved, the Holy Ghost enter in. And the Holy Ghost changes your life. We can't change it ourselves. It is God that saves us. He's the one that changes our life. I couldn't have changed my life. No way. But whenever I came as a sinner to Christ, asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save me, the Holy Ghost entered in, and he changed my life. And that was the sign. All things were passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What a great sign. And in closing, time is up. we will just look quickly at his four crises. And what brought the four crises? Prosperity. He had everything that he wanted. And this was in his borrowed 15 years, you would say. And what did he do? He let his guard down. You know, this can happen. Hezekiah, up until his life, where he reigned for those 14 years, he kept things right. But now he let his guard down. And he let his enemy come in and steal all his treasures. Saw all that there was in Jerusalem. And of course later on they were all carried away into Babylon. We have to be careful as Christians. If we don't let our guard down, we'll keep faithful unto God. We'll praise his wonderful and holy name. Keep on rejoicing and keep on believing. Do pray that the Lord would bless these few remarks to our hearts tonight. And when we go home, you look through the life of Hezekiah. This is where you get your teaching whenever you go home and start reading it. And then you'll see wee things in it. Do pray that the Lord would bless.